potatoes. It's Friday, which means we're back again with another episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for being here, for your support and for your love. I really, really, really appreciate it. I will mention just one last time that if you want to get yourself some Cocoa Corner merch, please, 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 please go and do that because it's really, really cool. If you are enjoying these episodes and if you're enjoying Access, then please go and check out the Patreon. On the Patreon, we have Session Zeros, where we do these little like immersive deep dives into the characters as they board the Silverhawk for the first time. And they're really fun episodes that give a bit more context to the characters, but also they are hopefully a bit of fun to listen to. There are other bonus episodes and all kinds, as well as obviously the talkbacks. And right now we're going to be in the middle of releasing our holiday special arc. That's right, we're doing a holiday special, which features the one and only Shadrick, but maybe not as you know him. If you get to the end of this arc, which you can do right now over on the Patreon, you might know why. So if you want to check out the holiday special featuring the one and only Shadrick Turlett, played by John Mackey and Ed Spence as our guest GM, and with me playing alongside John, then you can go and check that out right now over on the Patreon. Please do, it'd be lovely to have you there, but we appreciate you being here. And you probably want to get on with this week's episode, so let's go ahead and take it away past me.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes Podcast.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes Podcast, everybody. I am your GM, Jasper William Cartwright, and I am very thrilled to be joined back for the fourth episode of Arc 1 of Campaign 2. It is John Mackey, Aaron Keefe, and George Primavera. Welcome back to the show, guys. How you doing?
Hey-o.
We're back.
Yeah, I felt like I was really kind of juicing that intro because I was like, I just wanted to be different, but on like every syllable, I think was the problem. I picked a sort of a new thing for every syllable of everyone's name.
You followed your bliss.
Yes, followed your bliss. Jasper, follow your bliss.
Wow. Did you just say that in earnest, George? Was that like a fully, is that like a thing you say?
Or is that a crazy thing to say? I'm so
I don't know. I just, and maybe it's like an Americanism, you know what I mean?
Followed your bliss. It's like a carefree, casual thing to follow. I don't know.
I don't know. If I said to like a straight friend of mine, hey man, follow your bliss, he would look at me like I just slapped him in the face. He'd be like,
hey my man, get on board with follow your bliss. I'm making t-shirts. I'm designing tattoos. You can download the PDF, show your guy. It's very traceable.
Perfect. Okay, love it. Check out the Follow Your Bliss merch range on the Rotating Heroes Podcast merch.
Don't buy that domain name.
Wait, why is it
don't
still
buy
free?
It.
I have to buy this.
Don't buy
I immediately. I bought it already. It's purchased by a John Mackey. Wait, what? How did you do this? Well, how are you guys doing today? Are you good? I feel like we're already in a spicy mode from sort of preamble stuff. You know, from off mic stuff, I was like getting spicy energy from everyone, including myself. I'll be honest.
I'm ready to rip.
I am feeling a little self-conscious because I decided to do a face mask and a hair mask for this recording as a multitask. And now I'm like looking at myself and I kind of look like a wet rat or like a kid that's been playing outside in the hot sun. Nobody say anything because I know, let's just all, they all laughed because it was a truth in comedy situation.
Nobody say I look normal. It'll just make me feel worse.
Let's just not even address it.
I can't. I can't tell you how there was three dudes on this call who hadn't noticed a thing.
Ooh, until I just you just absolutely said, like, didn't even clock that you were like damp in
no,
any way,
soaking wet.
And now I now all I see is
like,
it's like you've got a shower head on you right now.
I'm dying. I'm crying. Yeah. They all laughed so hard because then they all looked at me for kind of the first time at the same time.
We genuinely did. You sat there so quiet and then you just sort of shone the biggest spotlight
really
on yourself.
That really took me off guard. That's
very funny. Hi, I'm Aaron Keefe and I'm serving. My parents forgot to pick me up and it's raining. Yeah.
Okay, let's record. Everything's fine.
I think we've lost George, honestly.
Sorry.
That's actually made me cry out of one eye.
It really is just so funny to just this is like the perfect example of how like little perception most dudes have.
We're all just
chilling, whatever. Yeah. Meanwhile, Aaron is like, all she's thinking about is how her hair looks wet.
And how we are noticing. Like,
if any woman was on the call, I would have opened the Zoom and they'd be like, what happened? But no, it's okay. Everything's fine.
That's good. That's good.
Wowzers.
That was one of the best ways that we could have started. Wow. Fantastic, everyone. Well, I'm so excited to jump back in with our crew. One thing that I was thinking, I'm just going to seed this in your minds right now as a little sort of preamble task for you to noodle on, is that now we're doing these longer arcs, it kind of feels apt that maybe you should have a crew name. You know what I mean? Like a little trio name or something. Because it feels like it's going to be long enough, right? Like we're going to get into some stuff now. And I'm like, okay, it feels like if someone wanted to throw one out, I wouldn't be upset about it. You know what I mean? I'm just putting it out there. You know, we've not had one. We've not done that on the show before. And it feels like maybe that's been lacking. I'll be honest.
Give me the course of the episode.
Yeah.
I think it will find us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe for all those listening, maybe you stick around until the arc bar, because maybe we'd have some suggestions. Who knows? Maybe we'll have some
suggestions.
That's
a good idea.
You know what I mean?
What a novel idea.
Crazy thoughts. Okay, we're all going to go, just to make sure that Aaron doesn't feel subconscious the rest of the episode, me, George, and John are going to go get in the shower real quick. And then, and then
I'm
going to
pull
back.
My computer into my shower.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you, George. I really, really means a lot to me.
I actually thought that you were going to pull that over your head then, George, and I panicked so hard for your headphones. I was like, no, no, what are you doing?
I know, I got a little daring on the bit. Almost ruined my Bose.
I found that very moving, George. Thank you. I'm not moved by that, buddy.
So sorry.
It's awesome.
It's just so funny. Oh, wow. Okay.
Deep Space Recap.
Ah, hello, my little cosmic voyagers. You thought last time was a mess? Well, buckle up, because this one gets downright unhinged. Our heroes, trapped in a pitch-black tunnel of death, came face-to-face with a rabid, nightmarish vampire. Tundra gets bit, losing some of her life force, and Shaddy's wild magic kicks in, teleporting him to the front of the line, right into the vampire's waiting jaws. Cue chaos. Ollie chucks a javelin right into Shaddy's leg, the vampire drinks Shaddy like a juice box, and Tundra bounces a javelin off the greased-up tunnel floor, slamming it into the vampire's heart, disintegrating it into corpse souffle. They escape the tunnels, dodging tripwires and pushing crates over chasms and watching a vampire do a full Looney Tunes off an edge, emerging into Chapel's Row. And they find something off. The Temple of Vigarath is now a bar. Holy sacrilege, Manbat! So, what do our heroes do? Investigate? No! They get high. Ollie starts screaming his thoughts as loud as he possibly can. Tundra can see magic, and including the crate, which basically has a radiating do-not-open energy coming off of it. And Shaddy is engulfed in fire, but is weirdly chill about it. Ollie, ever the genius, takes a second hit, and his mind expands across the universe. He sees an ancient dragon, a battle in the stars, and an eye beneath the chapel watching him. He drops, his nose bleeding, whispering, "The eye, the eye." Meanwhile, Tundra takes a hit and sees her own brutal demise, a vision of her greatest enemy striking her down as she falls from the skies of Anvil. And that, my little starbound daredevils, is where we leave them. One unconscious, one traumatized, and one still very much on fire. What is next on the Rotating Heroes podcast, you ask? Will they open the crate? Will they survive their bad life choices? Will they ever learn? Doubtful, but let's find out. So, we are currently inside of this dimly lit bar. You have one of your friends, Ollie, passed out on the floor, currently nose bleeding. We'll say that you're kind of conscious, or coming round to consciousness, Ollie. We'll say the flames are dousing for you, Shadi. But I'll say for the time being, Tundra, you can still see... you can still see bits of magic. So, yeah, what does everyone want to do? You can also see the Kenku with the strange swirly eyes that had come and whispered something to Shadi, kind of looking back at you, just sort of nodding with two feathery thumbs up, you know, just sort of proud of you for sort of embracing the, you know, culture of this particular bar. So, yeah, what do you do? What does everyone do?
I've seen people get knocked out before, so I just start slapping... Ollie in the face to try to get him to like sort of wake up.
Shit! Hey, stop!
Hey, man, are you okay, dude? Are you okay?
Stop hitting me!
I grab a cup of like really strong alcohol and throw it in.
Oh wow, that hurts! That hurts!
Why do you have a bunch of cuts on your face? Why does it hurt?
But right, my eyes.
Oh right. Ah, sorry.
Hey man, you kind of freaked out there for a second, and then your nose started bleeding and you fell down. Are you okay?
Guys, do you feel like we're being watched by anything?
Well, now.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I felt like that kind of my whole life. There's always been, like, somebody a few feet behind me, sort of, like, protecting me from, like, bad people or, like, bad stuff.
You mean, like, your security guards?
I mean, like, yeah, I guess that's what they were. They're like my bodyguards. I've always had bodyguards. This is like the first time in my whole life I've ever left my house without a bodyguard.
I'm thinking in like sort of a larger scale here, Shadi. I feel like something big has its eye on me, us. I'm kind of freaked out, guys. I think I need to take another hit off of whatever that machine is.
Hang on.
We can talk and do two things at the same time.
But you were like almost dead. Wait, hold on. You're almost dead, dude. Like you're like almost dead. You've almost died so many times in the last couple of days. Just hang on a second. What are you thinking? What is in your mind right now?
Can I tell you honestly what's going through my mind right now with no judgment?
Yeah, judgment-free zone. I don't judge anybody.
It's kind of a specific thing. It's going to sound crazy. So I really want to see if this place has a basement. I need to find it right now. And I need to know if the floor is made of a giant eyeball.
Okay.
I can't tell you 100%.
This is what happened the first time I did drugs, too. This is really typical.
Is this eyeball thing normal?
I totally get it. Yeah, this is actually sort of how it usually goes.
I can't tell you how relieved I feel about that. So I'm not free. So you know about the eyeball.
Yeah, but it could be true, but like probably not, right?
Okay. See that thing you said right there? It relit the flame of me absolutely having to find out if it is true or not. It's burning out of control. So I'm going to go find a basement.
All right, we're going to go with you and we're going to grab the box and everything's fine.
That's what I was hoping you would say. Thank you so much.
Great.
Really don't want to do this alone.
Okay. Can I ask who's taking the box?
I would assume it's me.
I look at Shadi.
Yeah. Everyone slowly turns and looks at Shadi. Wonderful. So how would you like to proceed? The bar is pretty sort of busy. There's plenty going on, so it doesn't feel like you need to be particularly sort of sneaky if you wanted to, you know, make your way round. Put it this way. You could either go like sort of
through sort of into the staff area and look for a way down that way, or you could potentially exit the chapel itself and see if there's any like external, you know, ways down. So up to you which way you folks would like to head if you're going to try and find out what is beneath this chapel.
Yeah, I'm Ollie's looking at Tundra. Like, now that I have explained what I desperately want to do, I need somebody much more competent to help me execute that plan.
Can I do like a history check to see what I know about how, like, what would make this easier?
I mean, the sort of main question is just whether you would like to sort of head out of the chapel and try and find a way in that way, or try and sneak through past, like, you know, there'll be like staff, but you wouldn't assume, you have no reason to believe that anyone is, you know, at this establishment is like particularly well armed or capable of, you know, killing you guys. It would just be Cool. If you're sort of stealthing through the back, what I'll say is this can either be stealth or performance. This is essentially either just like walking with that sheer confidence of like, we're supposed to be here, or it's like actively seeing someone sort of go through a door and sort of trying to, you know, grab it before it closes and shuffle in and hide under, you know, cabinets or whatever.
I think stealth. I think we're all doing that thing where we're like, like squinting our eyes, being like, "We're looking for something that's important."
That's an interesting sign.
Yeah, this is where we're meeting the
Go ahead, roll me stealth. Let's see what you guys get.
This is objectively much worse for me to do, but let's see. How it goes.
Perfect. 16.
Sounds like it's pretty good for Tundra. So that's the main thing.
Three.
Oh, perfect.
Yep. Yep, that's good. That's how that works. Uh-huh.
Nothing's going to make that good.
So 3, 16, and what did you get, Shaddy?
13.
13, okay. Yeah, you make your way back, and sort of anytime that anyone looks over at you, you know, as you get back there, you sort of do that thing of, oh, yeah, there is. That's where we're headed. You know, and sort of immediately kind of move on. And people,
oh, wow. It is in this direction we're supposed to go. Correct? Hope the manager's not here. Oh, that manager.
You're doing too much.
He always comes after me. Ollie Flash. Want to see my ID? I can prove that that's my name.
Oh, God.
See, a really large bugbear, kind of short but very stocky, just sort of swing the door of the manager's office swings open, and he kind of looks out, you know, as I'm assuming Tundra sort of grabs Ollie and pulls him back from, you know, exposing himself fully, just his ID now showing above the counter that you're currently hid behind, and you absolutely manage to make your way through these sort of modest little staff quarters. Again, this is very much an old converted church, so you can see that like an area where like the priests used to sleep is now just being used to like prep vegetables and stuff like this. And it takes not too long. You find a sort of on a slant these sort of old looking wooden doors. They open outwards and there's like a stairwell kind of going down. And I think that you, from the even from the outside, start to hear kind of strange, like, whispers, and it's as if the closer you get to that door, the colder it gets.
Hmm.
Crazy.
This might be a good time for a history check. Is there something, like, because I lived here.
Hmm.
Would I know what this could mean?
Yeah, go ahead and roll. Yeah, roll me a history check.
Natural 20, but I have a minus 1 for history.
Hell yeah.
Wow, nat 20. Wow. Good roll. Thank God you have Tundra, right, guys?
Yeah.
You, Tundra, you know Vagarith is the draconic god that is said to have become what is the sun. The sun in the center of this solar system is called Vega, and sort of it previously it was known as Vagarith. And so this was a temple to Vagarith. It is one of the sort of main, probably like the most prominent religion throughout all of the three planets. And the whole thing with worshipping Vagarith is all about, essentially, it removes a lot of the emotion from situations, because it's all about sort of seeing without judgment. It's like seeing the absolute truth. You would also know that this has been abused forever and a day, with people being like, we don't judge you. It's just that the truth is you committed this crime, whatever, and now you're going to die, which, you know, sounds a lot like judgment. So that's like sort of very prominent here. With a 19, what I'll give you is that this is very, very unusual for a church or a temple of Vagarath to have anything concealed. The whole vibe of Vagarath is about seeing everything, right? Vagarath's vibe normally is very open plan. It's very Scandinavian, if you will. Very, you know, light woods, white walls kind of vibe. This feels unusual to have like an enclosed dark space that people wouldn't know about. It doesn't feel like a storage room. And so I think you get a little bit of an odd vibe from there. And then the last little bit that I'll give you is that you do know that there are a number of creatures that live on the dark side that have found a home on the dark side and love to dwell in very dark and strange places.
So it's probably nothing and we're fine.
Yep. Is that, you say all of that and then say, so it's probably nothing, we're fine?
No, yeah, we're probably nothing, we're fine.
Great.
Tundra hears that whole thing in her head and then just said, probably nothing, it's fine.
Can I sort of draw my sword and be ready?
Probably nothing, it's fine.
Do you guys want me to see if I can feel what's on the other side?
Yeah.
The box freaked me out, but if I just kind of focus towards the door, I can see if I get a feel for anything.
Great
just
idea.
Just don't look at the box. It'll be fine.
I will use a channel divinity divine sense just on the door and what kind of cold, scary vibe we're getting. I'm going to approach to be within range.
You're like right up on the door, so you can send that divine sense right inside of the door. Well, as you do, as you approach this door, I will say that you get a couple pings, much like before, of there's a couple undead in the vicinity.
Okay.
Of 60 feet of you. However, the strangest thing happens, which is when you sort of peek towards the door, almost like that the door, the corridor beyond it, and whatever lies then beyond that is completely obfuscated from your view. You cannot, like, you can't detect a single thing from that direction, which has probably never happened before.
Yeah, I'm detecting, like, nothingness, but bad.
It's probably fine, right?
And definitely, I also, yeah, it's probably fine.
Shing!
I put my shield on, and I cast light on my shield so that we have light around us.
As you step forward, you see a young, in fact, actually, John, roll me a d12 and a d4, please.
Okay.
I take that back. I do not have light. I do not cast that. I just take my sword out.
11 on the d12 and a 1 on the d4.
Oh, fun. Okay. You see a sort of young-looking, femme-presenting, warforged, or as they're known in this world, a sim, which is sort of a semi-organic kind of automaton, kind of steps out wearing a sort of a uniform, which I imagine this is a pretty hipster bar. It's probably like a, you know, like an apron, like a really thick, unnecessarily thick leather apron that would be like really useful in like a forge or something. Kind of steps through, sees you all kind of drawing swords, etc., and just goes, are you okay? Why, can I just ask, why are the three of you staring at that wall?
I run up to him and grab him. The eye, man.
Where's
the eye?
What?
Tell me where the eye is.
Which eye are you looking for?
Oh, we're so sorry to bother you. Sorry about my friend. We are actually inspectors here from the health department.
Right.
Surprise visit. I'm so sorry about that. We just need to know what's behind this door.
Okay.
Do you know when was the last time this area? What's going on in this area? When was the last time you were sort of in here?
Sorry, which door are you talking about?
This one right over here.
That one.
You are pointing at a wall, sir.
It's probably fine. Shing!
Yeah, your services are no longer required. Go upstairs, or else we're going to fail you.
She quite clearly kind of looks has no interest in working out whether you're actually from the department and is like, okay, I'm just going to go and clean some things, but good luck with the door. Okay? Good.
I didn't like her tone.
Talk to us like we were stupid.
The whole time we've been walking through, Shaddy's been kind of like lagging in the back, like again, kind of stewing in his brain and not really not paying attention to what's going on. And when this Warforger, the Sim, is like about to walk away, he like stops them and grabs their arm and is just like, ah. Hey, what's the deal with that little freak upstairs? Is he like real or is he like a freak or is he like, does he say like true stuff?
You mean the priest?
I guess so.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, he has certain, does have certain gifts with divination.
Okay.
You know, divining the future.
Okay.
That's a lot of what they practice. I think that it then from that point really stems from what your belief is.
Hmm.
Whether you believe we have a choice or we are all on a sort of preordained path. So I would say put as much stock in it as you want to.
Okay.
Does that help? Is that
useful? It does. And then Shaddy goes to like give this person the biggest, craziest handshake you've ever seen in your life. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, of course. You said the hand closes around your hand and it is a vice-like grip. This is a full machine.
Shaddy really plays it off like, thank you so much for what you did. And then like shakes it off and turns around. And then there's like this like new confidence in Shaddy that's like, we're going down there. We're going down there. We're seeing what's down there. Let's go down there. And Shaddy takes out his axe.
Whoa.
It's probably fine. And then goes, shing.
He says shing, though, because an axe doesn't make a shing sound.
He makes the sound with his mouth that their weapons made when they took them out.
Like, just after as well. So it's like the axe is out, and then you, like, remember.
He goes, like, shing. It's like pull, shing. That's the timing of it.
Perfect. Yeah.
All right. Let's do this.
Hang on. Wait, hold on.
Before we open the door, I'm just going to put my hands on them, on their shoulders, and just say,
we got this, guys. We got this.
And I'm going to cast Bless on all of us.
Nice.
Oh, we're blessed.
Oh, thank you.
D4s, folks. Get your D4s.
Right? Breach.
You just charge through the door.
But also, didn't you say there's a wall? Is this like a, is there some kind of freak thing going on in their brains?
We're still seeing, are we still seeing a door?
Yeah. You're seeing this sort of door on a bit of a slant, essentially. Yeah.
That Sim was telling us that it was a wall. I'm thinking either we can only see it because we're about to embark on some crazy quest, or because we're having an illusion and we're about to run into a wall full sprint.
Let's see.
But it's one of those two. Yeah.
The full sprint is up to you. I want to be very clear that I...
If Ollie is behind Shaddy, but if Shaddy goes full sprint, Ollie is committing to the full sprint.
Sure.
Shaddy has a confidence in this moment that you both don't understand. And he just takes off sprinting.
Oh, my God.
You take off sprinting. And, you know, not much time passes at all. And you burst through these two doors and into this icy cold hallway. Stairs lead down. And you can see as cracked stone starts to, like, swallow the light, it almost feels like. It gets, as you're stepping down this hallway, the light is getting kind of less and, like, it's reducing way quicker than it should do. And you can see that beneath this, like, once sacred place, these, like, roots have started to, like, take hold now. They wrap around the bricks almost like a bit of a rib cage. The air is thick, as you can see all these kind of, like, little dust particles and spores. And as you make your way a little further down, Shaddy, you start to see all these, like, tableaus and tapestries on the wall. You see that there is
these angelic-like beings. And here they are depicted with a sort of slightly draconic twist to them. They look almost like Dragonborn, but maybe sort of somewhere in between Dragonborn and a dragon. And they fight these sort of gigantic humanoid creatures, like giants, but they appear sort of slightly more devilish in nature. And you see these tapestries and tableaus of them fighting one another upon the surface of Anvil. And you see probably 4-5 of these as you head down. There is the occasional, like, glyph and rune, which seems to pulse with some energy. And it's not too long that you find a figure sort of walking in front of you. And the strange part is that you realize the figure isn't entirely whole. They are all there, but not entirely whole. It seems like there are several parts to this figure that are just straight up missing. Parts of the torso, a leg, maybe half of an arm, and the head, all gone. But in their place is like a spectral form. And as you get closer, you realize this figure seems to be mostly made up of like rotted flesh. And then wherever the flesh has given way, there is just this like ghostly kind of arm or head is kind of filling the space. It seems to be just sort of walking kind of backwards and forwards. It seems to hold something in its hands, maybe a book, just muttering to itself as you approach.
I know this character seems like scary looking, but is there like, can we read the room and sense if this is like an ominous, because I don't want to just murder someone.
Yeah, group insight check. Can we catch a vibe as a group?
Yeah, sure. Let's do a group insight check.
Yeah, can we catch a vibe?
Catch a vibe. Let's just catch a vibe on this guy.
Catch a vibe.
Can we catch a vibe?
The figure turns around, goes, are you looking for a vibe?
Oh, he's chill.
It don't do that.
Oh, this guy's chill.
Cool.
14.
I rolled a 3.
What did Tundra get?
11.
11. Okay. Tundra and Shadi, you don't feel awesome about this figure. Ollie, you feel probably uncomfortable, but this figure appears to be sort of very much buried in a book and concerned with things other than you. Like, you feel like it easily could have noticed you by this point and just doesn't seem to be paying you any heed. So it's unlikely, sort of at least immediately aggressive.
Hang on, guys, we got a reader. It's a good sign. Hey, man.
As you say, hey, man, hey, man, hey, man, hey, man, it just sort of echoes down this corridor. And you see this part, you see that the torso and the sort of body itself turns, and the sort of ghostly parts of it sort of turns slightly, almost as if on a delay or a bit of a lag. And it kind of looks towards you up from this book and goes,
it has been many moons since I have seen new flesh.
Guys, I'm really regretting this bold move. He said my flesh is new.
I heard.
Shadi, like, kind of takes a little step forward and tries to take, like, a tact of, like, just, like, being, like, really, like, casual, like, everything's cool. It's just, like, and she's like, so, what's up down here, man?
Yeah, what are you reading?
Yeah.
What's up down here?
Or, like, around here.
What's up down here around?
You guys, I don't think this guy understands what we're saying.
You see the head kind of snaps towards you, Tundra, and just goes,
I am reading a detailed history, trying to ascertain what the past can tell us of the future.
And would you recommend it? Is it good?
I gave it 4.5 stars on Goodreads.
Oh, okay. All right, that's good. Could Tundra read any of those, like, runes? Like, the language that's on the walls here, does it, like, look familiar to her? Did she take it runes in high school.
Why doesn't Tundra go ahead and give me a little arcana check here?
I have a 6 and then -1, so 5.
You think with some studying, you could. Like, as in, you think if you were to, like, take, like, a rubbing or, like, just sort of draw a couple of the runes out and then, like, really spend some time with them, you reckon you might be able to glean some information. In this moment, with everything that's going on, probably a little tough.
Great.
But given a minute, yeah, probably you could.
So I, like, don't have context for what who he might be.
I think that it's hard because he doesn't seem to be... There's no sort of discernible clothes or anything on him. He sort of... Everything is, like, so ancient and old and falling apart. And in terms of who he might be, I think that you would at least gather that he's, like, some sort of, like, custodian or librarian or whatever it may be. Like, if there's a place with, like, historical, like, tableaus and tapestries, it might make sense that there's also, like, books and libraries and other sources of knowledge down here somewhere.
What is it that brings you to me?
We're actually looking for you. She elbows the guys.
Yep.
Yes, you. We've heard that you are an incredible expert.
You're just the guy that we've been looking for.
That's who we're looking for.
We've been looking all over for you, and we actually would love for you to take a look at something that we have. Because you know so much about the past, you know so much about a bunch of stuff. Could you just maybe check at this, like, look at this box and see if anything is familiar to you?
You're a genius, Tundra.
Thank you so much.
See its facial expression changes and darkens a little bit.
Oh, no.
Part of the flesh on the one remaining shoulder that it has, you see a bit of it sloughs off and you just see a little kind of like nest of maggots inside of the shoulder kind of worming their way through.
Perfect, yeah, yeah,
as
yeah.
As he sort
yeah,
of
yeah,
looks
yeah.
down at it and seemingly talks to the maggots and goes,
no. I think that that would be impossible. Interesting. An interesting theory. Okay. I have a thought, but we do not exchange free knowledge here. Do you possess any knowledge, perhaps, of the world as it exists now? And I can tell you some knowledge of the world as it used to exist.
Shaddy just steps fully to the back of the line.
Yeah. that's some good self-awareness, bud.
It's pretty good, man. You know some stuff.
Very specific stuff.
But yeah, let Tundra go first.
Of course, yes, of course, of course, of course. I mean, we never ask for anything for free.
I can tell you what prison's like, but you know.
We just actually came from the real world, so ask away. We'll tell you anything.
If you tell me something of interest, I will return with a point of interest. Tell me something that you find interesting.
Oh, Tundra, you have that great story that you always tell.
Yeah. Do I have something, again, having been on this planet, what's been like the top... Some big news. Any, like, big elections in the last, like, 20 years or assassinations?
You would gather, given how old this dude is, he's been down here for hundreds, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. In the last 50 years, a government has been formed between the three habitable planets. Like, that's a pretty big deal. That's one of the been one of the biggest shifts in the world in the last, like... you know, a couple hundred years, is that the triumvirate government has formed, which is essentially like a collection of the three planets deciding matters that will kind of have bearing on all three of them. So, like, that's probably pretty big news.
Do I think this might upset him? Yeah, is there any... Can I start with maybe a little bit more, like, innocuous information?
I tell you what, why don't you just go ahead and roll me a persuasion check? This will be how sort of well you and articulately you deliver this information.
You guys, I got a 3.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
I'm rolling good today, boys.
I'm proficient in persuasion. Can I give her advantage with, like, a quick last-second help?
Oh, but you forgot the end of that cool story.
Yes. Right.
What is the end of that cool story? If you tell me what the end of that cool story is, then maybe I'll let you roll to help.
But I didn't tell him about the government, right? I told him about a
innocuous info
thing that innocuous thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh sure, yeah. So you could yeah.
And then he exploded.
Whoa!
Can you believe? Isn't that crazy?
May I ask?
Mm-hmm. Anything, yeah. Sure.
Do you treat everyone with such disrespect to tell me such frivolous stories of meaningless individuals exploding?
I just wanted to see if I could trust you, and you passed the test. Now I'll tell you the real stuff. There's a new government.
A what?
Government.
What is a government?
Oh, God. I walked him through everything.
Oh, man. It's been 3 hours.
Yeah, you said, like, I imagine.
Learn something. Listen and learn something.
Oh, God.
Tundra and this guy are sat cross-legged. This guy's making notes in a ghostly book whilst Ollie and Shadi are just pacing backwards and forwards, so bored, as Tundra's just going into great detail about the machinations of government and how it's formed and the bureaucracy that's already forming around this government, and people are already complaining about it, even though it's only 50 years old. And after all is said and done, and I will say it actually takes like a couple, it takes like a couple hours, because every single time you think you're done explaining a point, he has like several follow-up questions, and it just takes a long time.
Pull up some stone, Shaddy. We're not even on the second planet yet. Oh.
you give him a little breakdown of how there are 5 seats on the ten seats on the Triumvirate government, that Anvil has 5, that Sim has 2, and Maker/Mardeen has 3. And you break down like the clans and people that have those seats and everything. And I think this might be the first time that you clock this, Tundra. But you do, in kind of explaining all of this, also put something together, which is that the government, the Triumvirate government, Anvil has 5, Sim has 2, and Mardeen has 3 seats. One of those seats is held by the Turlet family.
Oh, shit.
I think, again, probably another sort of moment of realization.
She's looking at Shaddy that, being like, why don't you know this stuff? Why are you looking at me like you're learning this for the first time?
Why are you looking at me like you're learning?
And Shaddy kind of just says, like, my parents never really told me a lot about what was going on behind the scenes. I kind of just, they said it was too...
Shaddy, this is not behind the scenes. They teach this in, like, government classes. And
yeah, this is right in front of your face.
I didn't ever have to go to school.
Oh,
that's a huge one. There it is.
They're both nodding and make a big. There it is.
Got it.
There it is.
Even the ghost guy is nodding.
He didn't miss anything. All right, that's all I'm saying.
But yes, I think just a little context for both Ollie and Tundra as to like just how influential and big the Turlets are in this system. So after you explain, go on this lengthy explanation, he nods and goes,
interesting. I feel like there's a lot about this government that does make sense. And there's a lot about this government which seems really, really stupid.
I totally agree with you.
Like quite, sort of quite silly, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Deeply. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate the story you have shared with me, and I will in turn impart wisdom to you. There was once 2 trees, both of Sim. They were, if you can imagine, 2 sides of the same coin. One, known as the World Tree, life and chaos, beautiful but horrific. The other was the Void Tree. And it was said that beneath its bark there was absolute nothingness. The perfect counterbalance to life and chaos. However, many millennia ago, if not longer, something happened to the Void Tree. It was destroyed. It was cast out. Taken away from this place, leaving Sim to all of its beautiful chaos. That box contains some element of this void magic. Something that this system, these planets, have not seen for potentially before humans and humanoids even walked on the face of them. So good luck with that, I guess, is the sort of point I'm trying to make, really.
God damn!
Sort of a really crazy thing to be walking around with, you know?
Sorry. Is there, like, a way to, like, neutralize it or sort of, like, turn it off for a little while?
To turn off nothingness?
Yes!
Yeah.
No.
Mm. Dang.
I don't think so. My curiosity is piqued at what it is that could possibly contain nothingness. I'm assuming you've looked in the box.
Shetty just, like, shakes his head, like, really? Like, no, like...
like, we know we keep getting that, but no.
All I would say is that what is inside of that box has the ability to indiscriminately not destroy everything, but to simply make it nothing. I would be very careful with that box, as I'm sure you have been. Wait, is that a dent on one corner? What happened?
No, that's nothing.
You're not seeing that.
We got it. Like, we actually got it like that.
Shetty's just wagging his head.
That's how they gave it to us.
They flatten the corners so that they don't get cut.
Yeah, the guys who had it before us weren't very good at this.
Yeah, all the guys had. They brought it in, and then they decided that it would be better with a dent.
They were like, "Hey, man, I've got a mallet."
You know, yeah. So we're all sort of saying the same thing.
May I ask what it is you are doing with this box?
Supposed to deliver it by midday yesterday. That has not happened. So it's in transit. If you were to track a package, for example, it would be approaching.
Right.
And it's been stuck on approaching for about a day and a half. How long has it been? Maybe it's been 4 hours, and I'm just going a little crazy.
Ollie, go ahead and roll me history.
4.
Ollie, it's been 2 days.
Oh, my God. I haven't slept in 48 hours.
Yeah, you really haven't slept. For everyone else, by the way, it's been a matter of hours since you've been in this city. It's not been long at all.
Okay, great.
You still haven't missed the drop-off. You're fine. You've still got, you still got a whole sleep and then...
Hey, have you seen a big eye?
Did you say a big eye?
Yeah. Real big eye. Has something to do with the center of the universe and every god and celestial being that exists and me. Not to say, like, I'm special. It was just the context of this... really strong. I'm not 100% sure what the strain was, but good stuff.
I see. He is revealing himself to you, Ollie.
Can I ask you a question? What's your name?
Me?
So sorry. She taught you all about the government, and we didn't ask your name once.
We've been here like 6 hours, don't know the guy's name.
I am the custodian, Artiel.
Artie?
No. Definitely not. Appreciate the attempt.
Custer?
Custer? You think that's better than Artie?
Yeah. I didn't see any problem with Artie.
To take my title and turn it into a
A nickname.
Well, a nickname implies fondness for the person you give it to. We've spent quite a long time teaching you about the customs of our world, and you told us a very scary story.
You see, as a finger falls off onto the floor.
Let me get that for you. Here you go.
like, sort of lands in like a wet, you know.
You actually have fondness for me?
I mean...
For us.
This is a pretty scary situation. We were in a basement of a bar, and now I have no idea where we are.
Mm.
And you haven't jumped us or cursed us. So I think we're cool, man. Listen, one thing I knew about, you know, back when I was locked up, if you're not messing with me, I'm not messing with you, and that's as good as being friends.
Well, if he is revealing himself to you, then proceed down. Find the eye you seek. Claim it for yourself. It will give you many truths and reveal many terrible lies.
I'm going to ask you one more favor, Artie, before I go check out that eye.
If you can say my name rather than Artie, I'll tell you.
Oh, sure, man. Hey, if you don't like it, you don't like it. Le Custodian Artiel, right? Is that about right?
Why did you add the French lilt?
Oh, I remembered. I misremembered. My bad, man. The Custodian Artiel.
You are correct. I am Le Custodian Artiel.
Don't tie. See, you're silly. You're a silly guy.
This guy's way sillier than I thought he was. Yeah. I kind of like this guy.
You see that he immediately, like, turns and looks at you and his jaw becomes, like, distended. And he's like,
what do you mean I'm silly?
Oh!
Never mind. Sorry.
Listen, we already pretty much interrogated just a guy who was parking our ship, and the suspicion vibes on him were lower than they were on you on this mysterious cave plane.
such a true statement. Like, the truest of statements.
I'm going to cast Zone of Truth.
And I was going to say, there's a little truth spell up here. It's just going to tell me if you're telling me the truth or not. I'm going to invite you to submit to the spell, and I'm going to ask you one question, and then this thing's gone. I'm not trying to fool you with anything.
You know what? I'm going to say, I'm going to say that he's going to choose to fail.
Okay, I'm not lying.
What does it look like, do you think, as Ollie casts?
I take my nail on my bottom lip and I drag it down my chin and to my heart and then pull a little golden bead off of my chest, drop it onto the floor, and it extends in a 15-foot radius like a little golden altar on the floor, like a circular glowing platform.
He sort of looks to the three of you as if to be like, are you all going to fail? Sort of almost inviting you to also partake in the truth and the telling
Ooh.
Of.
I'll voluntarily fail my own spell. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, same. I'll fail.
Okay. One question for one question. You go first.
If we go down there, are we going to find out that everything you told us is true?
Yes. If you pass the test, you will receive a boon.
That's not quite what I asked you.
Yeah, that's not really.
Again, I've done this a lot in prison. And this is not the first time someone's tried the old doublespeak on Ollie Flash, okay? You telling us the truth?
So tilts his head to the side and goes,
yes, they're absolutely... is down there an eye that is made allegedly of a shard of Vagarith. That eye will give you great power, but that power does come at a cost, so use it wisely.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, I've heard that somewhere.
More money, more problems. It's all classic trade-off.
You know the scriptures of Spider-Man and hip-hop.
What was your question?
My question to each of you is, what do you truly desire? Now, each of you have chosen to fail.
Yeah. I know. I regret it, though. I'm being honest.
So if you choose to speak in this moment, you have to speak a truth as far as your character is concerned.
Ollie sighs and just goes, I don't know, man.
Oof. That was depressing.
Yeah. I would love to find out what I'm supposed to be doing.
You see that the finger that you've still got hold of, that you picked up off the floor, just goes, and just points down, sort of further down.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe. I'm just, you know, I literally got this vision from like a drug dispenser on the side of a wall in a booth, and I'm just, all right. Here's your finger back. I don't know why I'm still holding that. Sorry.
Thank you. I need that.
Tundra is like looking around awkwardly, trying not to speak. She doesn't want to say hers out loud.
As you look around on the wall, there's a moment as this custodian's face kind of emerges from the wall and just sort of gives you like a knowing look. And then it's sort of like, as you look back to the custodian, you see it kind of reappears back on the custodian's head.
Yuck. Oof. Sorry, truth spell.
Yeah.
Shaddy really quietly to himself just says, I just want one person to tell me that they're proud of me.
Oh, Shaddy, I'm proud of you. Tundra, you're proud of Shaddy, right?
Zone of truth. You can't lie. You can't lie.
Can I?
By the way, Aaron, I've got to ask you, what does Tundra just immediately say?
She laughs.
See?
Okay. No, I know what that laugh means.
No. She just screams at the top of her lungs.
She has the liar, liar, like, the pen is
blue.
I can see a future in which I could potentially be proud of you for something.
You sound exactly like my parents.
Well, they weren't that bad. They didn't say they'd never be proud of you then, right?
That's sad. Sorry. I meant to say that's not so bad. That's the truth. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't say that. I said
it's
that's
sad.
Fuck. I said that's sad. Ugh.
It's sad.
So what about you? There is much conflict inside of you, Tundra. Tundra of Anvil. Tundra with something lost, but two things gained. What do you desire?
Did I tell him this stuff?
No, you didn't. No one's picked up on the fact that he just knows all of your names.
Tundra, because now she's intimidated and she knows he probably already knows, she looks down at her hand and she mumbles. Revenge?
A path well trodden. Just be careful. Revenge has a funny way of becoming all-consuming. Well, this has been the best conversation I've had in many hundreds of years.
That's really funny.
And I have much to ponder on. So, do you proceed downwards? Or do you choose, like many others before you, to not make or take your place amongst the stars and simply drift into nothingness?
I'm going to dispel the zone of truth and be like, can we huddle up really quick? We'll let you know what we're going to
do. Yep. Yep.
You want a beat?
Can we talk for 2 seconds and don't read our minds? Because how'd you know our names? Come on, man.
I'll do my best to not listen in.
I think we gotta go, right? We should go. We should do
feeling
it.
Feeling like, yeah. But I'm also feeling like maybe we leave this box here with him.
I don't know about you guys. I don't want to carry nothingness around in a box.
I know, but what if someone else gets it and they're bad?
Already seems okay.
And also, nobody else could see this door.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This is like a hidden room. We could, like, leave all of our stuff down here. Like, we could, like, this could be our little, like, hideout. We could have, this is our little hideout in the city.
That's kind of awesome.
Our lair. This is our lair. This is where our cool crew comes down to take a load off and plot our next tricks.
But before we start measuring corners, Shaddy, I do remember reading some stuff in religious texts about doors that appear and disappear, and it would be a real bummer if we brought all of our stuff down here and then the door wasn't here anymore. But let's put that on the back burner, because if this door, if we can open this thing twice, this is Fort Shaddy. You can do whatever you want. Tundra, you get the front area. You can do anything you want with that side cave. I get this area with the view of nothingness over here. This big window to the stars.
I think we have to take the box with us. I know it's a pain, but I'm going to be so mad if we can't get back into this room. Because if the door is not appearing to other people, what if something happens?
Yeah, all right. I think you're right. Just want to be rid of that thing. Give me a heart attack.
Yeah, I'm assuming because the way that we've had to carry the box, we've like kept it kind of like flat. Is there like a way that I could turn it into like with like some rope, like turn it into a backpack?
Easily. Yeah.
Yes.
As long as no one unsummons you, you'll be fine.
So I just like I'm pretty confident this thing's not so heavy that it like hurts. I think I can handle it. You know, this is my burden to bear. You know? So I'll just strap it on and we'll be okay.
All right, hold the railing on banisters when you're walking up and down the stairs. Watch where you're walking.
Of course.
Don't sit down too quickly. Don't stand up too quickly.
You sound like my parents again.
Shaddy, an absolute chill runs down your spine as you realize you're currently sort of staring at a set of stairs descending down or going up, and neither of them have railings.
I'll be okay. I can do this. This is easy. I've never fallen down stairs before.
Why would you now?
Yeah, why would I now? I do this all the time. My house growing up had so many stairs. I'm fine.
Hey, there is one. If we're going to go down to this scary basement and you're holding what is essentially a magic destroyer or whatever it is, I'm going to do something really quick.
I'm going to cast protection from good and evil and good on Shaddy.
Okay.
So for 10 minutes, a willing creature is protected against creatures that are aberrations, celestials, elementals, fey, fiends, or undead. All creatures have disadvantage on attack rolls of that kind, have disadvantage on attack rolls against Shaddy. Shaddy can't be possessed and can't be charmed or frightened.
Story of my life.
Actually, that's all we need to know for now.
Okay.
But this does cost me. I dump holy water over him. Just... And then
what the hell?
Oh, you look like Aaron.
Oh no.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Oh man, that's so funny. And then I also I have like $735, right? That's how much gold I have.
Yes. Yes.
I lose...
Because you won so much gold.
That's right, that's right. Casting that spell costs me 25 gold pieces. So I also, like, take gold and, like, throw it at Shaddy, but it bursts into dust as it hits him and kind of settles on him, like, the protection aura.
I'm covered in money.
What's new for Shaddy, honestly?
I was
going
to say, again, story of my life.
Just in case, you know, that eye looks into his soul and... gives him a greater purpose and he throws the box on the ground. Let's just have that not even be a possibility.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. This episode has been brought to you by 12 Sided Studios. 12 Sided Studios, executive producer Chad Vitel, producer Jess Jewell, social media support by Ellie Crook, production support by Amber Forshaw,
And, of course, the all-important audio editor, Oliver Moore. Thank you so much for checking this out. If you want to find out more about what 12 Sided Studios is up to, please go to the 12 Sided Studios Patreon, where you can get all the down low on things that we have, including a brand new TTRPG where you can get a free quick start guide for right now, available on that Patreon. This episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast has featured Aaron Keefe, John Mackey, George Primavera, and of course, me. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.